I love it when Rabbi Sacks writes my sermon for me. He's much smarter than I am, or was. He's dead now. But I want to talk about public integrity. It starts at the very beginning of today's Torah portion. These are the records of the tabernacle of the testimony, as they were recorded at the commandment of Moses, the responsibility of the Levites, under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. What this is an accounting of all the metal that went into the building of the tabernacle, down to the shekel. What we're going to talk about is this idea of Moses ordering this accounting. One of the things that you should understand is Moses, obviously, was a righteous man. He was the one who saw God face to face. He was the one who got the tablets. He was the one who could talk to God and have miracles be performed. So the idea that there is somehow any suspicion of Moses is absurd. That's why this is so important. He is setting a Torah principle and a precedent. This is the first project that the Hebrew people had done as a community. Everything else had been provided for them. So they do this massive project, and it takes over a year. It's lit off on the first month of the second time around. So I can't imagine that there would be any suspicion among the people of Israel that Moses was sticking some of it into his pocket. Yet, he orders this accounting to be made. Furthermore, he does not do that accounting himself. He has a third party, the Levites who are running this, do that accounting. This is a big deal, because what God is establishing here is the notion of public integrity. And I'll read this from Sacks. Trust is the essence in public life. A nation that suspects its leaders of corruption cannot function effectively as a free, just, and open society. It doesn't say you can't function. It says you can't function as a free, just, and open society. It is the mark of a good society that public leadership is seen as a form of service rather than as a means to power, which is all too easily abused. A free society is built on moral foundations, and those must be unshakable. That's what Moses is establishing by this accounting of all the metal. There isn't any question whatsoever about Moses' integrity. And furthermore, the culture in the world at that time was that rulers could do whatever they wanted. The Pharaoh of Egypt didn't give an accounting. He could take whatever he wanted. Same thing with Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. Same thing with any of the pagan kings. The milieu, if you will, was that kings get to do whatever they want and everybody else just sort of adapts to it. So the idea here of a man who speaks face to face with God publicly auditing this project is a serious big deal. Furthermore, in the Torah, back in Exodus 18, when Jethro is talking to Moses and saying, hey, you can't stand and judge all the people all by yourself. You need subordinates. Exodus 18. This is Jethro. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God and are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. So one of the criteria for choosing this people is that they are not looking for bribes as a perk to their public service. And then go to 1 Samuel 12. Samuel's been judging Israel for years, and when he anoints Saul, his tenure as a judge is basically over, because now we're going to have a monarchy instead of a judge. 1 Samuel 12, 1 through 3, Samuel said to all Israel, behold, I have obeyed your voice in all that you have said to me and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walks before you, and I am old and gray. And behold, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my youth until this day. Here I am. testify against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I taken a bribe to blind my eyes with it? Testify against me, and I will restore it to you. And of course, they said, you didn't take anything. So this idea of public integrity is a Torah principle that is essential for a free society to function properly. Other societies can function on other bases. You've had empires that have not functioned with good public integrity. But what Sachs says, and I completely agree with, is it's foundational. If a society is set up initially based on Torah principles, people have expectations. And if the institutions are then seen to be corrupt, what happens is you lose faith in those institutions. And then you lose faith in government. And you lose faith in the rule of law because you don't see any of those things as being righteous anymore. Obviously, one of the things that we're going through is a massive public accounting of our federal government. And what we're finding is the whole thing, top to bottom, is corrupt. One of the things that I've found, there are over 1,000 zombie agencies in the federal government. Now, what's a zombie agency? It's an agency whose congressional authorization has expired, but it continues to exist. The Legal Services Corporation, its congressional authority expired in 1980. Yet, for the past 45 years, it has been cooking along, doing whatever it does. The Federal Election Commission, its congressional authorization expired in 1981. It has no congressional authorization. The Federal Communications Commission expired in 2020. The Foreign Relations Authorization Act expired in 2003, yet there are 24 programs under that agency that keep cooking right along and spending money. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission expired in 1984. The Energy Information Administration expired in 1984. There's also an African Development Administration that expired in, I believe, 1984. And when the Doge people went in there to audit that, they barricaded themselves in and closed the door. Wouldn't let them in. Obviously, the question is, how does this happen? And the answer to that is what's called baseline budgeting. What baseline budgeting is we don't actually look at what's going on. What we do is we ask you how much you spent last year. We authorize that much plus inflation, and they have been authorizing money for these agencies long after their public charter has expired. That's why they're called zombie, and there's over 1,000 of them. The other thing that's going on, this has been the most wonderful 3 months in our history. It's been ugly, but it's been really wonderful. Again, I read an article that was very insightful. Judges in our society are priests. Now, think about the function of a priest. A priest's job in the Torah was to be a judge. If you had disputes, you went before the priest. The priest is also responsible for maintaining the mores, the traditions and everything of the society. The judges are maintaining the traditions of a corrupt elite. So you have this corrupt elite that has been running everything for their own benefit for decades, and you now have judges who are drawn from that elite, serving the role of priests, maintaining that status quo, or trying to. Interestingly, the Bible says something about that as well. When the system is corrupt, the righteous makes himself a prey. And that's from Isaiah 59:15. And what that says is the society has become so corrupt that anybody that tries to do good becomes a prey of the corrupt society. They look upon him as a victim, and they prey on him. And what I'm telling you is this is not just a secular, civil thing that's going on. It is certainly that, but it is also a religious and moral thing that is going on. I have no idea what the people on, for example, Musk's team believe. They may be absolute atheists. But what they're doing is they are serving a religious function, which is to say, a prophet comes in and he points out all the corruption of the society. And in this case, the prophet has the authority of the president behind him. You all have read Israel history, you've read the Bible, and you see that periodically when a society runs off the rails, God sends a prophet. And that prophet does things like Isaiah. He says, you guys are so corrupt that when anybody righteous walks around, he becomes your prey. This is evil. And so what's happening now is God has sent us a prophet, quote unquote. As I say, I have no idea what these people believe personally, but they are functioning in our society in the same way that an Isaiah or a Jeremiah is. And notice that they still try and throw him into the cistern, just like they did with Jeremiah. Let me read another passage from Sacks. The Talmud records a scene on the deathbed of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. As the master lay surrounded by his disciples, they said to him, our master, bless us before you die. He said to them, may it be God's will that the fear of heaven shall be as much upon you as the fear of flesh and blood. His disciples asked, is that all? He replied, would that you obtained no less than such fear. You can see for yourselves the truth of what I say. When a man is about to commit a transgression, he says, I hope nobody sees me. The point he's making here is, God is in heaven, and your society is in your face. So when you're about to do something scummy, you try and hide it from people, and you don't even think about God. You may think, well, God will forgive me, or God isn't watching, or whatever you may think. But the point is, the fear of man is more powerful among us than the fear of God is. And what this blessing is, may you come to fear God's opinion more than you fear the opinion of your neighbors. How is that played out? Well, it's played out in our society. Look at what we have discovered. Look at all the devious connections that are not apparent on the surface. What you have is you have a non-government organization, which is an oxymoron, because all of these organizations receive government funding as grants. And those organizations then turn around and do things that politicians want. So for example, two judges, Boasberg and Merkin, the judge in the Trump trial in New York, and this Boasberg guy who has become the legal attorney for Venezuelan gangs. But both of them have daughters, and both of their daughters work for non-government organizations that are doing things that these judges are opposing. So Boasberg's daughter, I believe, I'd have to check this again, but my memory is she works for some organization that is facilitating refugees. Well, he's saying, you can't deport these people. Does that sound like a conflict of interest to you? But notice it is not on the surface until people start digging. And as people start digging, you start finding this stuff. But it isn't available on the surface because this looks like a federal judge who's making a decision about the rights of refugees. And it isn't until somebody digs that he finds that he has a familial conflict of interest. Same thing with the judge in New York. His daughter was a member of an organization that was doing fundraising based on Trump is a criminal. None of that's obvious until somebody digs. And what's happening right now is somebody is digging. There was some Congress creature that said that the people have no right to know how the money's being spent. I don't remember which one it was. This has been several months ago, but it was a Congress creature that was saying, People don't have any right to know what this is. Well, the Constitution specifically says we do. The Constitution specifically says that there will be a periodic accounting of how the money is spent. And what's happened is our government has not done that periodic accounting, and furthermore is actively hostile to that periodic accounting for obvious reasons. This all goes back to Moses. You can argue that during the Exodus, Moses was perhaps the most powerful man in the world. In fact, when we get to Korah's rebellion, he has some people that take a run at him and try and say, wait a minute, you're taking on too much power for yourself. And this is in Numbers 16. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and they said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in this wilderness, and you must also make yourself a prince over us? In other words, you are abusing your power. That's what they're saying. Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very angry. And he said to the Lord, do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, and I have not harmed one of them. Now that's fiction to change, because this is the incident where he stands in front of their tents and said, if God's with me, open up the ground. And the ground goes whoop, whoop, and sucks them and all their families down into the ground, closes back up. But the point is, Moses is being accused of abusing his position. And he's saying to God, I have not taken one donkey from these people. The point is, if a man of the power and integrity of a Moses feels it necessary to have an independent audit of this construction project that he has put together, how much more should we expect such an audit of our government? Now, we are all easily tempted, me among you. And we always, always, always have two witnesses when we handle money. Furthermore, we post an accounting of our finances on the slideshow. For those of you who sit in Midrash, the last thing we do at Midrash is I read about the offering and where everything went. The point of that is, not that I'm a thief, but like Moses, I have to be seen as not abusing my position. We deliberately set it up that way, and we have been doing it that way for 25 years. And should we continue to exist for another week, we will continue to do it that way. And the whole point is, just like Moses, public institutions have got to be seen to be honest. So the idea here is you have to take measures, even among honest people, to make sure that temptation can never arise. If you have one person that is handling the offering, or one person that has the budget or whatever, there's always the possibility that that person could rationalize and say, well, I got this thing that's really important right now, and I need the rationalization of the immediate can take precedence over integrity. And that's what's been happening in our government. State, county, local, school boards, everything. We have all of these devious cutouts that have been set in place. So you have this organization that has this wonderful shining mission statement. Oh, wow, that really looks good. But when you go underneath, you discover that the money is not being spent for that purpose. It is being laundered. For example, there was a commission that was supposed to bring internet to the rural America. Spent millions and millions of dollars. You know how much internet they brought? Zero in 2 years. It looks really good. We've got this agency that's going to bring internet to the entire United States. Every farm is going to have an internet connection. We're spending millions of dollars on that. We're not buying internet cable with it because that's not happening. So as you look at this, I don't know or care what your opinion of Mr. Trump is. There's some people like him, some people don't, and that's okay. But one of the things about Mr. Trump is the shadow government, or whatever you want to call it, has thrown everything at him that they have got, to include bullets. And every case that any fair person looks at, we see that the charges are trumped up. No pun intended. And I have no idea what we did to deserve this, but God sent us an honest man. All of this lawfare against him has been bogus. He has survived an assassination attempt. And now what we're seeing through the reports that are going through the internet every day, and one of the things about Mr. Musk is he owns Twitter, so they can't shut him up. But what we're seeing is the modern equivalent of an Isaiah or an Ezekiel or a Jeremiah who has been sent to a sick society to expose the sickness so that everybody can look at how sick they are and then make a decision, do we want to be healed? Or do we want to continue in our sickness? And sadly for Israel, they decided that they wanted to continue in their sickness. And I pray for us, we will not. We will look at this and we will say, we don't want this anymore. We want to get back to what we were 200 years ago. All of this public auditing and stuff is absolutely biblical. Keep that firmly in mind.